are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, let's be honest. If the Savior of the world had time to nap in a storm, why do we think skipping sleep and skipping meals is spiritual? Hey, self-care is not just selfish when it's rooted in stewardship. It's not selfish when it's rooted in stewardship. After all, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a machine. So let's talk about the godly art of rest. The godly art of rest. Someone please give my producer a high five. Rest and replenishment. Pastor Munga joins us one more time for this conversation. My pastor, good morning.
Good morning, Sister Wong. How are you and our listeners there?
Doing all right, Pastor. I'm fighting a cold, but I'm having a good time and I'm looking forward to this conversation. I was listening to you and Zinhle yesterday. It was a very interesting, interesting conversation about self-sacrifice and self-care.
Yes. No, it's a pleasure for me, and especially that today is my birthday.
Oh, wow.
But don't ask me how old I am.
Oh, wow. Oh, happy birthday, my pastor. Thank you so much for joining us on your special
Thank you.
Day.
It's a pleasure.
And we thank God for giving you another year on this earth. What a beautiful, beautiful gift.
Thanks.
All right, Pastor. Please open for us in prayer as we get started.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our Savior, we are thankful that you have brought us together with our listeners, Sister Wongi, that you may speak to us in a special way through this conversation. May the Holy Spirit lead us, and may glory and honor be unto your name, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, let's get into it. Why do people often associate busyness with holiness in Christianity?
Thank you very much, Sister Wong, and our listeners. I call this business the Moses syndrome.
Okay.
And you'll find it in Exodus, Exodus chapter 18, where you'll find Moses is advised by the father-in-law. He's working from morning to evening, no rest, because he's attending to people.
Yeah.
And we are living in a world that celebrates workaholism.
Yes.
And that is associated to being a very important person.
Yeah.
Imagine you say, no, my diary is full. I'm from this board meeting. I'm going to another meeting. From that meeting, I'm going to that meeting.
Yeah.
You look very important.
Yeah,
you look very important. And people who don't have such engagements, it's like they are lazy or so, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So we are living in such a setup. And then but ultimately, we find that actually, at times these busy schedules, they reveal some insecurity of some kind.
Mm.
And this, actually, in management, they call it micromanagement, where you are attending even to small details about these small details about this when you are actually supposed to delegate.
Yeah.
So actually, it is the world that we live in that displays a perception that when you are busy or you are perceived to be busy, you are considered to be a very important person. But it's a deception.
Mm.
And a very big deception. One of us yesterday, I think he sent a message. He said, no, how does a pastor go on leave? How does a pastor go? Other people can go on leave. But how can a Mufundis, out of all things, say, no, I'm not praying for people this month, I'm on leave. So...
Exactly. And I was saying that the difficulty then for a lot of pastors, you notice that so many pastors, there's now this perception that pastors' children are wayward and, you know, pastors' children are rebellious. But many times you find that the pastor has been so busy. Many times the church has been so demanding or the pastor's work has been so demanding that he has not really managed to be there as much as he would like to be there for his family if he has no boundaries, if he doesn't set up those guardrails to say that this now is time for my family. I need to take time out to spend time with my children, with my wife. And if all the time is dedicated to service, then the children end up going their own way. They can become resentful toward the church. I've heard children of pastors at the pastor's funeral say, when they hear all these wonderful things about their father, and they're like, oh, we didn't know that because we didn't really spend that much time with him. He was out here with you guys, but at home we never saw him. And that's so unfortunate. That's what happens when there are no boundaries.
No, it's exactly the truth. And even to set those boundaries, it's not easy.
Yes.
But they have to be set. And the expectations of the church members from the pastor also need to be understood, need to be put clearly. That at times we expect too much from a human being.
I think so.
And also, us as ministers, when we are filled with this FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes.
I should attend this funeral. I should attend that function. You are everywhere. You should be seen that you are around praying for people in the night and during the day, morning, evening. And then finally, you are exhausted. You come home on an empty tank, which is not all right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it's very true. Now, what's the difference between self-indulgence and godly self-care? Because even that can go to the extreme, and our boundaries can almost become like little gods now. How do we make sure we don't go too far into self-indulgence now, trying to draw up those boundaries and trying to have self-care?
For sure, self-care is very important. Self-indulgence, when I was looking at it, says allowing yourself to have or do anything that you enjoy. Like eating whatever you feel like,
mm-hmm.
You do what you feel like. You know, if someone comes, is selling ice cream, you buy ice cream. Someone comes selling an apple, you buy an apple. Anything that you want.
Yeah.
But now, ultimately, you find that you're actually destroying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning we need the self-care. When you take care of yourself?
Yes.
And that also includes the stewardship of temperance, mm-hmm. self-control.
Yeah.
Yes, my appetite wants this, but this can destroy me. Just like the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you need to love yourself before you extend that love to me or to another person.
Yeah.
So it should start with me, and that is self-care. I need to look after myself before I can look after the other person. So that is very important also, that I need to care for myself. And not to be indulgent, meaning just to do anything. We have got those people that we watch in developed countries who have got challenges of obese.
Yes.
Someone goes to an extent where you can't even walk.
Yeah.
Why? Because whatever comes, whatever comes to the appetite, you get, you eat, you drink. At the end of the day, you destroy yourself. But self-care is when you take care of yourself and you look after yourself, you deny yourself things that can destroy you. But which appetite wants, and that is very important. That is self-care, looking up after yourself. I don't have to wait for another person to give me a health talk, how many times I should drink water, how much I should sleep. No,
yeah.
I need to have that self-care, to look after myself.
Yeah,
sure.
At this point, we should know. I think what I'm getting from what you're saying is that self-indulgence and self-care, the distinction there is kind of the same as what you talked about when you are sacrificing yourself and serving the community. The importance of boundaries. So when it comes to self-care, it's about having boundaries for myself now. So there's boundaries for other people, but also for myself, to know that even though I want to stay up late, I need to get some rest. Even though I want to eat this thing and I love how it tastes and all of that, but it's not good for me. So I must set that boundary for myself, that I will not defile my body with these kinds of foods or with this kind of content. I will set up those guardrails and purpose in my heart, like Daniel did, that I'm not going to do these things. So it's about boundaries still, just at this time, boundaries for myself.
No, you are right for sure. And those boundaries includes saying no.
Yes, to myself.
Yeah. Yes, to myself, and at times also to functions. Maybe I'm caught somewhere. No, you are needed this side, you are needed that side. And you say, okay, this function is at 9. The other one is at 10, the other one is at 2 p.m.,
hey.
The other one 5 p.m. I say, no, I'll be there. Let me just rush this side, then I'll connect that side. No, that can be also be self-indulgent. You just do everything around, no.
Yeah.
But no is also very important, and no is also a good answer.
Beautiful. Now, let's talk about resting. How does rest contribute to clearer spiritual discernment and joy?
Rest is important because the research shows that rest reduces your heart rate, thereby reducing your blood pressure. We have got a global challenge now for a lot of people having high blood pressure. At times it comes because you don't rest.
Mm-hmm.
You are all over. and then your heart rate is up. But when you rest, the heart rate goes down. It reduces your blood pressure. And that means it reduces your stress and anxiety. Then that will lead to better decision making. And then we are talking about spiritual discernment. That there's a decision that has to be made. You are called maybe in a meeting. If you are exhausted in a meeting, what contribution can you make there?
Mm-hmm.
I heard of one person who was dozing in church. This person was a pulpit manager. He was dozing. Then when the pastor was preaching, he shouted, "Amen." Then the pulpit manager woke up and told the church to stand up. Let us stand and sing the closing prayer, the closing song. We sing the closing song.
Oh, my goodness. Those are dangerous.
Yes, so those are the dangers. But when you have got time to rest, you even have good judgment that, yeah, you don't know, this is what is supposed to happen. That you have given your body time to rest. Mm-hmm. Your brain is always alert.
Mm-hmm.
And when your brain is alert, that means you can make a better decision and you can understand things. You can even read between lines. Now, when you talk about spiritual discernment, you can see, read between lines. Yes, this person is saying this, but it doesn't seem to be the good, having this motive. Mm-hmm. Or on the surface, this person is saying this, but behind this,
mm-hmm,
there should be something else.
Yeah.
That comes when the brain has been given time to rest. And then you can have that discernment to distinguish between right and wrong.
Sure. And I think for those who are so used to not getting rest and have found a way to function even in that fog, you don't even realize that you're functioning in a fog. You don't realize what your brain is actually capable of because you've been in this state for so long and you're so used to it now. And you just think that this is normal. And like you said, there's some kind of glorification of, and sometimes we'll even use the scriptures, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, poverty will come upon you. So we think that sleeping means laziness. And so I take pride in the fact that I sleep at 2 a.m. and I wake up at 4 and then I'm just going the whole day. I'm accomplishing so many things. And yet everything you're doing is not as good as it could be because your mind is not really engaged in the way that it should be.
Exactly. And you deny yourself the joy of rest.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you rest, you relax. I told a sister yesterday that I'll be on leave from Friday, that's the 9th of May, up to 29th, where you just relax, you rest.
Mm.
And that's very important.
Yeah.
To give your body that dose of rest from busy schedules, and then you can have some time when you can just relax and rewind and refresh.
Yeah. And when you're thinking about like a pastor, because I had said, you know, you imagine you're a doctor on a train and you're on leave and you're on the train and then someone next to you is having a heart attack and you say, you will have to call the ambulance. I'm sorry, I'm on leave. But the difference now, the difference is that I think people think if the pastor is on leave, the pastor has stopped praying. For that period, he's not praying anymore.
Not even reading the Bible.
He's not reading the Bible. He doesn't care about us. He has forgotten about us. And we have lost our pastor. We are like sheep without a shepherd.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So I think the difference is that with pastors, at least you know that wherever the pastor is, he's still praying for us. He's still concerned about our issues, but he just needs a break.
Exactly.
And this is now time for us to practice our own and strengthen our own connection with God instead of going through the pastor.
And you remember the pastor is an under-shepherd. The real shepherd is Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are under-shepherds,
exactly,
pointing people to Jesus. So even when you are on leave, Jesus is not on leave. Although the physical presence of the pastor is not there, but he's not on leave.
True.
I actually like in... A friend was in, should be Sweden, one of those churches.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time of the year when people go to the beach,
mm-hmm,
and they close churches.
Okay.
So this lady from Zambia went to the church, and when he reached the church, no, I've come for worship. He said, no, actually, everyone has gone to the beach. So churches are closed. And this lady says, I wish I could find someone. I could find a pastor around that. This is just even a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the young man said, actually, I'm the pastor for this church, and the keys are with the deacon.
Okay.
Yes, the church is closed.
Yeah.
So, which can be very strange for us here. Yeah. If you say, well, I think this is now end of the year.
Yeah.
This whole December, we are closing the churches and we are closing the church, each man or each woman for himself. We will meet in January.
A lot of us will be lost. We'll just be like, okay, so what must happen to us?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Now, what rhythms of rest, Pastor, can we learn from the story of creation, from the Sabbath, you know, just the way that God has timed time itself?
God is very good. And look at the creation story. Before Adam and Eve could engage in any work, their first activity was to rest. They are created on the fifth day, on the sixth day, and come the seventh day. It's a day of rest. Just an example that we need to rest. So you have that rhythm that comes. You labor, you work for 6 days, the way God worked. On the seventh day, you take a pause, press the pause button, you rest.
Mm.
And that is very important. I learned, heard from a friend who was in Israel,
mm-hmm.
say that on the Sabbath, life comes to a standstill.
Mm.
Elevators don't work. Everything is just automated. There are no buses going anywhere. There are no trains moving anywhere. And if you are to go to any city, they were closed. So there is even no need for you to go. So that rhythm of 6 days of working, the seventh day you rest, is very important.
Mm, mm.
What should also be interesting to you is that studies have shown that there are some animals that are called beavers. Yeah. If you go on YouTube, you say animals that rest on the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
you find they're there. These animals, they do all their work Saturday, Sunday to Friday. And on the Sabbath, they are in their holes. They don't come out.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yes, they don't come out. And then there are also certain bees that were found in Brazil, in the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
These bees don't work on the Sabbath.
Wow.
They do their work from Sunday up to Friday, and on the Sabbath, they take a pause.
Wow.
What a lesson to us, even when we struggle to explain the Sabbath to people. No, Sunday, Monday, this day you have to rest, but you have got animals there that are still following the creation story of resting. And rest, like we have said, is for our own benefit.
Yeah.
For physical, even if you are not a Christian.
Yes, it's true. Hello, Pastor, are you still there? Hello, Pastor, can you hear me? It looks like we have lost our connection with the Pastor. Pastor Munga, can you hear me? All right, let's try and reconnect with the Pastor and see what's going on there. Very interesting. Have you guys heard of that? These animals keeping the Sabbath, essentially, and recognizing that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, while you and I are still debating that, you know, is it really that big of a deal? Very interesting to learn that the animals are still following that model. My Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
All right, we lost.
Yes, for sure. Are there animals that sure?
Yes, please continue.
Yeah, like I said, there are animals, like you said, the beaver. And also certain bees that keep the Sabbath. What a lesson to you and I, and even to our listeners, that there are animals that are still following the creation story of keeping the Sabbath, which is beneficial for us. Like I was about to say that the Sabbath is for human beings, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian.
Yes,
rest. You take a break.
Yeah.
Even machines, we give them pause that it can rest. What more as a human being? Like I said yesterday, at times we are tempted to think that we are human doings, not human beings.
Yay.
But the Sabbath reminds us that we are human beings, not human doings.
Sure, that's powerful.
And that is very important for us.
Yeah, love that. Now, how can Christians prioritize health while still living a life of service?
In the first place, we need to realize as human beings that it's only a health body that can work effectively. And that can work efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
We need to realize that. And when we realize that, that means we shall prioritize our health. That is, I am health. That's when I can work better. One of the reasons James White, the husband to Ellen White,
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons he died at an early stage because of overworking.
Mm-hmm.
What was he overworking? What was he doing? Preaching.
Hey.
He would preach. When you read the story, he would preach maybe at times in three churches on one Sabbath.
Yeah.
He goes to preach to this church, goes to preach to another church, he goes to preach to another church, and that is quite exhausting. So our health, and then you do it at the expense of your health.
Yeah.
There are also some cancers that you can develop because of speaking, throat cancer, or even knee stroke. When you talk a lot, the muscles around your mouth, they are exhausted. Hmm. And then someone can go into a stroke. So we need to learn from the owner of the work, Christ himself. He worked, and he also paused. He rested.
Yeah.
One time he was in a storm. He was resting on a pillow.
Yeah.
Just relaxing.
Yeah.
He was sleeping. In so what more ourselves? Yeah, in the storm. So work will always be there.
Yeah.
And this gospel, remember, the gospel is everlasting.
Yeah, yeah.
Our children will preach it and our grandchildren will preach it if Christ will not have come. So we do the part. When you're on stage, others will do their part also.
So how do we balance the passion then? Because on one hand, it could be, you know, that desire to look busy. It could be just wanting to look important. But then there are people who are just really passionate about the work that they're doing. And, you know, they just want to keep going because they love the work so much, or they're so eager to share the love of Christ, for example, that they just don't know how to put on the brakes because they feel like this work is urgent. Do you think there's still some kind of an insecurity there, or trying too hard? How does one manage that passion or zeal?
In the first place, there's no one who is more serious than Jesus. We need to realize that.
Okay.
Then look at the life of Christ. The life of Christ is very interesting. Mm. He worked only for 3.5 years.
Hey.
He lived on earth for 33 and a half years. And the 30 years were preparation. You don't hear anything about Jesus in 30 years. All the gospels, all the epistles, they are talking about what he did in 3.5 years. Mm. You don't hear anything.
Yeah.
So we can't say that, no, me, I have to do everywhere like wind. You go this side and you go the other side. No.
Yeah.
We have got, if you want to work effectively, actually, when you take your pause, mm-hmm. like when you talk about a pastor, mm-hmm. when I go on leave, I've got time, I get my Bible, I get my great controversy. I have got time to read. You are actually rejuvenating yourself. It's like going to a filling station.
Mm-hmm.
You put your full tank. You service yourself. Like when you take a car, you take your car for servicing.
Mm-hmm.
Full service. They check everything, change the tires. And when the car comes on back on the road, some people can even forget it. Is this the car that mm-hmm. looks like a wreck? Why? Mm-hmm. You took it off the road to be serviced, to be attended to be replenished. That is very important for us as human beings.
Hmm. Powerful. That's a beautiful analogy. Thank you so much, Pastor. I think we can wrap it up right there for today, and we'll be continuing our conversation tomorrow on the subject of self-care and self-sacrifice. God bless you, and happy birthday to you, my Pastor.
Thank you very much, and God bless you, and God bless our listeners.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.